Thank you, Jesus. All right, well, you might have noticed Marcia and the Rexter were gone for a couple of weeks. Yes, we did. Yeah, see, you're loved and appreciated. And so they went over to the bike week at Daytona and were there for 2 weeks, off and on. So we prayed for them a couple of weeks ago that God do a great work over there. Hallelujah. Hey, Rex, why don't you just come up and tell us just for a couple minutes? Just for a couple minutes, Rex. He's a preacher too, you know, so you just have to specify to preachers and tell them, you know.
Yeah, this year was a little different than normal. The weather was real cold and stuff, and it's funny, you just got to follow what the Lord's doing, because last year we let it be known nationally from the Tribe of Judah headquarters out of Houston, and we were able to buy 600 steaks and go into a club, the Outlaws Clubhouse in Daytona last year, and feed all those guys. And so this year, but a few months ago, maybe it was about 4 or 5 months ago, a couple of them had asked us if we could maybe do something like that again. And it was kind of short notice and stuff, but I mean, God's always real faithful of what He does. And there wasn't even money there when we were, the day that we were going to do it. But I mean, it was able to, you know, put it on a credit card and stuff, and everything still came in. So we still, this year here, we did it again, and we bought like, I don't know, 450 steaks, 12-ounce ribeyes. And I got it for a real, really good price, and got to go in there. It was different, though, this year, because we got in there last Thursday night, and the police had a command center set up right next door to where we were going to be ministering. And there was a lot of activity. They were looked like they were going to try to shut everything down, raid the place, and just shut down what we had planned in ministry there, you know. And the Lord just had specifically had us pray Saturday or Thursday evening, late afternoon. I mean, just real strongly with, you know, 4 or 5 of us there, just strongly and very specifically pray just to not to shut down the law enforcement, but to shut down the strife that was being caused by the law enforcement. And it was, you know, you really wouldn't pray, you know, not praying against law enforcement, of course, but there was a, you know, specific spiritual things connected to it all. And it was really something, because we just really stood the ground. And just everybody that was there, too, there was maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 patch holders for the Tribe of Judah, maybe a few more from Alabama, Tennessee, and us from Florida, and a few others. And it's just, you know, amazing. Everybody said the same thing, that, you know, the enemy really tries to come in against the family every time that we get together, every time that we really have a major event like this. And every time, really, since I can remember that Marsh and I go on runs, he comes really, really strong with strife. You know, tries to work up her and I, and he tries to work up all kinds of things. I had several other guys tell me over the weekend that, you know, their son got sick, wife got sick. I mean, everything that could happen just goes up in a handbasket, you know, just to stop people from going. You know, I mean, that's what he does. And it's interesting, because, you know, the way I've always looked at that was, you know, the Lord, I always keep it real simple to me, because I know what I'm supposed to be doing usually, you know, as far as at least some of that stuff, I know what I'm supposed to be doing. So I just kind of keep it real simple and say, well, Lord, I know you're sending me, because in the flesh, I really don't want to go ride my motorcycle in 30-degree weather over to Daytona, 260 miles away. I mean, in the flesh, I really don't want to do it, because it's the truth. So I don't even go into that box, into that arena. I just say, so I know, Lord, so you're providing this. I know you're sending, so you provide. And I know that everything gets provided. And I just keep it that simple. So I don't go into any whys or hows or whens or how any of that. I just keep it all away from me and just go. And God never has let us down. I mean, He ain't gonna never let you down. I mean, He don't let you down. This one lady, this one couple, they came down. They wrote down with the chapter president from Tennessee, from Nashville area, and he's got MS, and his wife had severe back pains for several years. And we were together in a motor home Saturday evening, and we just prayed for her, and prayed for him. For his MS and his condition, and she just got, you know, she was just going to get ready to take her medications and stuff, and she said, I don't need to take any medications. She was the light came on in her eyes, and she was just so thankful. She says the pain's gone. I mean, it's gone. So it's so good to see, you know, it's so good to see that, you know, she wanted it. I mean, she wanted prayer, and she was able to receive a healing there. So I was just so thankful. But God's just so faithful. And I just, you know, I'm saying all that just to say this real quickly, that God, you know, no matter what we're supposed to be doing, you know, especially our prayer life. I mean, my prayer life's been under the gun here since January, I believe. And I just really, you know, it's not how much I've fell short maybe in the past couple of months. It's what I'm going to do with it today and tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to get back up and do it again. I'm going to get back up and get into it. I mean, and God says He'll multiply the time. So there's nothing lost. The only thing that gets lost is if I don't get back up and do it again. I mean, then there's a loss. But there's nothing lost from yesterday or the 2 months before that I didn't pray the way I should. I can see it a little bit in my life, my attitudes. I mean, the things like to come back that where they used to be there, but God just says, get up and carry on. You know, so I just want to encourage everybody. Let's just get up and carry on, because wherever we fall short, don't matter, because see, He'll multiply the time. I mean, He'll multiply the time. Jesus, hallelujah.
These also should have. You want to? Yeah, and but you're even more. Maybe a she graduated from Rhema, so I'm trying to okay, remember this thing just self destructs after a few, you know, I'm just kidding.
Well, even just adding on with what Rex said about the lady that got healed. I mean, she was even bending over and saying, I couldn't bend over like this before without pain. And she was really, you know, so thankful. But the other thing about the man with the MS, I believe that he's healed. And not only that, Rex gave him his motorcycle gloves that he's been wearing for months.
Hallelujah.
And I'm believing as he even wears those
That's
gloves,
right.
They're just like a prayer cloth, and that MS is totally leaving his
Jesus.
Body, and that he's completely healed, and we're going to see that next time we see him.
Hallelujah.
You know, praise God. But it was really a great trip, and we got to pray for different ones, and then just to see how it did go at the clubhouse to feed those people, and to see a man who... I won't say his name or anything, but he's one of the ones that over the years has been mean to us, hard to us, strong to us. And to see him come over and be right by us to eat and to say, thank you so much for all that you have done for us over the years.
Hallelujah.
And we've just kept loving that man and loving him and loving him no matter how mean he's been to us. Or whatever, we've just still reached out to him. We've prayed for him. And we're just seeing changes come in these people's lives and how some's been born again, you know. And there's people no longer in these clubs anymore because we've
Hallelujah.
Been there over the years That's to so witness good. To them. And they've laid down their patches and they're going on with
Jesus,
Jesus and forgetting that life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. for them to say, I mean, we can't hardly appreciate the gravity of that, for her to say that these guys have laid down their patches. Because to them, that was everything. That was their family, their identification. A lot of times that was their total acceptance in life, that these people, whether we think them rogue, accepted me. So for a man to come out, or a woman to come out and lay down something like that, then there has been some kind of true change. Hallelujah. I appreciate those testimonies. Even what Rex said about prayer. Hallelujah. Seemed like he was here Sunday. Because that's what we... I mean, even where we were at Sunday. We're talking about that great operation. You're standing there on Judgment Day. He said he'd be judging us out of the things that were done in our body. Now, I don't know how it is in your Bible, but it's real easy for me to keep it in context in mind, because this is how you meditate. When you go into something, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me, please. Of course, you've got to do your homework and read. But show me where the subject starts and where it stops. Show me. So a lot of times you'll be looking at something here, and if you take it right from there and don't ask the Holy Spirit where it starts at, you can so misconstrue a scripture that you can you can not only muddy it up, you can get people mixed up big time. Yourself first. You start preaching out of a mixed up interpretation. But a lot of times you'll find out, you just flip back, keep going, and then that same word is mentioned the chapter before. And then it may be mentioned the chapter before that, and you can find out how far back. It may be 3 or 4 chapters. It may be 6 or 7 verses where that particular subject starts. So then you say, okay, this is where it starts at. And then you'll follow it through until the Holy Spirit will notify you by reading it several times. That's where it stops, and that's where something else picks up. So then you've got the content of that scripture right there. It may be 3 or 4 chapters. It may be sandwiched into 27 verses or 32 or whatever. But you always got to know where it starts and where it stops. Or when we were looking at Ephesians, and in Corinthians, and he said we'd all be judged according to the deeds, or according to the things done in us, in our body. What things? What things? So was it knocking on doors, which is good? Was it a ministry of sorts of any kind? Which you can name all kinds of valuable, valuable, wonderful ministries. It's like this couple here. They can launch out and do something besides just sitting home and praying and fasting, because they can launch out of it out of power and out of the investment of His grace coming on them. And we prophesied a long time ago they'd be doing what they're doing. They can do that, and they could, like you, some of you could have such a powerful prayer life that the Holy Spirit could trust you to do 3 or 4 different things. You could do that if you had a strong enough prayer life. But here's the deal. If you don't do the one, if you're not real fat, see, the whole church is this way, pretty much. The whole church is real fat on works and busyness, and real skinny over here on the part where everything is supposed to be launched out of, which is a life of prayer and fellowship and intimacy and power in the Holy Ghost. And that's the travesty. They're real skinny here, anorexic, but fat. I mean, way overweight over here. Then you just, in my Bible, Corinthians, and on the same page, it's real easy. I can look right over, and he goes to talking about the body again in verses earlier. And he said this, that the dying of the Lord Jesus might be made manifest in our body, that the life also may be manifest as well. So that cues me into this and lets me know that what He's really saying about that judgment is everything in this life that I did to present my flesh before Him in a dying process to say, okay, God, kill me. Kill my flesh. Everything that is inside of me that is ambitious and yet has no power. Everything inside of me that is ambitious and yet in itself in the end will not reflect Your glory. That's the part that He's on that day going to judge us by. It's not really, here, isn't this amazing? It's not really what you did outside. It's what you did inside that becomes the part. That's the part. That's the part that really He's going to go and give you the greatest kind of authority in. And then when He can get that kind of authority from you, then the other part He'll let you launch out and do and do and do. Why? Because really, really, on the other side, even though people think they're getting a lot done, at the end of the day, people's lives are really not that changed. It's not that changed. And so it doesn't matter. Now here's where we got to be real careful. Real careful. But I think He'll help us. We never ever want a hint, not even hint, that we're some kind of utopia here, like this is it. But I will tell you this. Whether whatever operation you were in, whether you were called to, whether you were called to feed or witness or go to prisons or go to missions or go, no matter what, I will say this. Every single one of those, anything of the, all of it on this planet was supposed to come under, however you term it. We term ours a revival. Somebody might call it a restoration. Somebody might call it whatever, whatever. But I can tell you this. It's like denominations. Do you think denominations were part of God's scheme? Like some people think, well, He put the Baptists for people that wouldn't quite accept a real emotional, and He put the Methodists for these, and so God kind of gave everybody a smorgasbord so they could have a menu, like if they were that type A or type B type person or that kind of personality. So, no way. He only had one church. One church and one Holy Ghost. So every operation, see, ours is called to miracles, and you happen to be under somebody that keeps, is under, I'm called to the fivefold. And so he wants an operation of miracles here. But no matter what, if it was an operation of just feeding the poor, every operation was supposed to be umbrellaed and go right back into an operation of power, which only consists of a place of the dying. He said that the dying of the body, the dying of the body, that the dying of Christ might be made manifest in my body. Meaning this, there was a walk in this life where you had to, by reason of choice, it's a reason of choice. And the easiest thing in the world, especially in Christendom, is to camouflage yourself. You can convince yourself that you're doing a whole lot over here. See, really, in all honesty, I mean, you know, I'd springboard by what Rex said, but I'm confident. I'm not preaching against them. I'm confident where they're at. Because they launched out of that place. But here's the deal. If you don't launch out of that place, you can go over here and just absolutely save the world. and fulfill 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, I could give my body to be burned and have not love. You could absolutely be feeding thousands and just be mean as Lucifer himself to your wife and to your kids. And when you stood there on that day, and there would be no amount of door knocking, no amount of missionary trips, no amount of nothing that could take away that part of you. You couldn't get out there and pour yourself out enough to get that part. That part only came about by the dying of the Lord Jesus being made manifest in your mortal body, which shakes down. Once you just shake it down, it's a life of intimacy and prayer and power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's just no way to get away from it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Just no way to get away from it. So, and here's the deal. Oh, God knows. And I'd cringe if I thought I was presenting any kind of elitist kind of mentality around here. We're not a clan. We're a part of a kingdom. But I will tell you this. Whenever you start worrying about what you're getting done and not getting done, ask yourself the question, how many people does He have on planet Earth with the knowledge inside of them and with the going forth inside of them that'll present the possibility at the end of the day a work that resembles the Master's work. The work that, yes, He had the umbrella of all the ministries. He could feed, but oh, His feeding program was infused with tremendous power, and blind saw and the lame walk and deaf heard and dumb speak. What I'm saying is this, He's got plenty right now, presently. It's still not feeding enough, but He's got plenty of people running into jails and plenty of people filling up this and filling up that. But how many operations do you know where continually the blind see, the lame walk? So I'm saying, don't let the enemy push you around or cause you to feel like you're not doing anything when year after year you find yourself locking yourself away into some prayer closet with just the chance of what we haven't seen yet, of running into, head into an operation at the end of our life where we resemble what is not yet being taken place on planet Earth. He's fat. He's got a lot of that over there, and they're doing their best. But I believe this, they don't all have to speak like us, but everybody in Christendom should be seeking this, an operation of power, because no matter what you're doing, it should be infused with the anointing that breaks every yoke. Hallelujah. So you've done your ministry and you're doing your ministry when you just fight your flesh like crazy and your schedule like a scalded dog to enter into that place and say, my God, this is the number one triumph of my life, that the dying of the Lord Jesus may be manifest in my body, and there is no other way. 1,000 tracks, 1,000 prison attendances, and even getting people saved. You can get people saved and turn right around and curse somebody else out on the next day, except the mortification process does have to take place in a place where only He can come and do it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to teach out of Ephesians. Well, oh man. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Rex helped us, because there's not one of us. Did you know every day is a choice? It really is. It's just, once you realize it, you get relaxed in it, that you realize every day is a choice. Every single day. Hey, and don't, like he said, he was prophesying real good. Don't, if you run into those spurts and those times where it doesn't seem like, resembles like you like it, don't worry about it. just go right back into choice, because it's a choice. When people don't think that it's a choice, they think that anybody else is just kind of running real free in what they're having to do, and real free and going in, and real free and staying in, and real free. Every single day is a choice of your spirituality. Will you spend that time? Will you spend that time? Will you spend that time? And some days just to jump up to the plate and spend any amount of tongues in privacy is like it would have been. Let me say it like this. Physically, I've been to the gym at other times in my life and lifted great big amounts of weights and had them kids from the high school looking at me. And then I could come home and run 3 or 4 miles. And man, and then other times my body would be going through something when just to walk one lap around the block was as much a challenge or more than the day that I lifted 400 and ran 3 miles and impressed them or anybody else. In the spirit realm, you may look back at times and say, my God, I accomplished a whole lot more than that a year ago. But it's what you're up against for the day. It's what you're up against, and it's what your life is up against. And you step up to the plate and say, okay, I know. You know what? I could just let this day go by and say there was no time in it. But my God, since my mind's on it now and I'm just quickened right now, I'll run over here and steal 30 minutes in tongues. 30 minutes under a shade tree, or 30 minutes here, or 30 minutes there. I will buffet my body and bring it under subjection so that one day, God, I can enter into this course, this great crescendo that's raising up from a place, and it's other places as well, that says, Oh God, let the manifestation of the dying of your body be made manifest. That life, what life? The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of life did He have? Blind see, lame walk, deaf hear, dumb speak, dead be raised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if just by chance, this really is, we're on the right path, then every time that I lock my door, per se, or get up, like my buddy has to at 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes. That to God, see, we can't equivocate it. It doesn't make sense with the mind, because I'm honest to God, not against that. But you could have visited 100 people in the hospital, and still, do you know how many? Man, I need to be kind, because this is all in kindness. Do you know how many men have visited person after person, done great works in hospitals, and fed little orphans, and then ran off on their wife? Yes, sir. Not one or two. Amen. Thousands. Yes, sir. Through the ages. Thousands. Yes, sir. But there's only one place. I'm not condemning works. Those need to be done. But my God, unless that place is found where the Master can come and trade your weaknesses for His strength, you won't run into it. You can run as hard as you want to run and try to bury a weakness. It won't go away. You have to somehow sit down, fasten the seatbelt, and say, okay, I want your life. Because you gave me that ministry. I'm supposed to be out there feeding the poor. I'm supposed to be working with the little children. But God, not only do I want to work with them, I don't want any torment in my own life either. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. You guys get... I almost want to apologize sometimes because you guys get such heavy stuff. But it's okay, right? I mean, we really are. You guys don't know what I go home sometimes and sit and, oh God, I don't want to be too hard. The only thing is, we're headed towards revival. And if I get too hard, pray for me. He'll correct me. But I'm just wanting to, if I wasn't doing it with you, I'd be a hypocrite, and I couldn't talk like this, but I hope I'm leading the way in it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Whew. Hallelujah. I think we just need to worship God just for a couple minutes. Hallelujah. Before you leave tonight, we'll put up some baskets. Your help with us in this is a great, big, wonderful miracle. And I appreciate every one of you each week that's sensitive during these times when it's difficult. But I'm telling you, it's difficult out there. I say we have more than enough. More than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Carlos, Jesus loves you. He knows that part. Hallelujah. Carlos, I call him born again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So let's just stand. And if you want to bring this up and you want to worship a little bit, whatever you want to do, I think you'll be free after this. Glory be to God. Man, our bucket lady's become our basket lady. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can come and stand even if you don't have anything to bring. Just if you want to worship through this, whatever Matt gives us. And because his presence is down here, it's out there too. I love you. Candy and I love you. So whatever you have, praise God. In Jesus' name, amen. You're blessed. Amen.